We back on the 40-40 Club. I am Pierce, joined as always by Scott. It's been an interesting little August, to say the least. I've completely detached from baseball, while you have completely dove yourself in, for the better or for worse.
And losing my fucking mind. I haven't been in a pennant race in like 13 years. I'm over here ready to put a fucking
That was actually the perfect picture to post yesterday. We're gonna go into Sox therapy in just a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I apparently have to be Dr. Bruce Banner, you know, completely nodding away and having to jive myself back up and deal with Tony Stark's PTSD.
You and the homie Mike, he called me yesterday like, "Gee, you gotta relax.
You gotta chill, dude. Like, you're 10 and a half up."
He said, "You're not gonna make it through October.
You're not gonna make it through September. The first losing streak in September, when it gets to like 6.5 games, you're gonna lose your
fucking
mind."
Lose my mind. Fucking, by the way, cut Zach Collins. This nigga can't do nothing right. This nigga can't hit. This nigga can't run bases.
I love the meme. Sam from Northside Sox Pod post a meme all the time of Jessica Walters from Arrested Development. I love all my catches. I don't care for Collins. Even Sebby Zavala jumped him in the fucking
Sebby Zavala.
So I really didn't like. I saw it, but I didn't understand like what was the issue with him and Tony leading up to Tony blowing up on him in the dugout yesterday.
So pretty much it happened because he was upset at Sebby for calling a pitch like right down the middle damn near at Vlad when it was a 3-0 count. Like,
whoa. Okay, yeah, that's kind of a, you know.
And so like everybody
and the score at this point of the game was what?
It was 1-0 at the time. It was run on scoring position with two outs.
1-0 Sox.
Yeah, 1-0 Sox, yeah. It was run on scoring position. First base is open, it's two outs. And he called a fastball right down. Look at this fucking black girl. It's like giving a ham sandwich to a hungry nigga. Of course he's gonna fucking hit that shit. Tie game. And then Sebby Zavala just had a bad game at the plate, you know, and then I can't blame him for the way we lost because Craig Kimbrell, nobody would have caught that shit. Pudge Rodriguez wasn't going to catch that fucking wild-ass pitch that he threw. But that's what he was yelling at him for. And I was like, look, I don't like LaRussa either, but I'd have been yelling at that nigga too. Like, I think sometimes we take our hate for LaRussa and just irrationally get mad. I'm like, okay, it's a coach yelling at his player. He gives a shit.
Yeah, like, okay, you analyze the things you would do differently. Of course, maybe you would have, you know, gone into the dugout, probably done it there. Yeah, okay, cool. Hey, I'm not really going to get too mad about it because shit just happens all over. It's just it happens in a close end. It's the heat of the moment. And, of course, like, it happens between players all the time. We saw it in June in San Francisco when Rizzo was still on the team. Rizzo and Contreras was going back.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
By leadership. And that shit persisted. But, you know, this is a manager, you know, kind of just trying to get his catcher, which is supposed to, you know, you work hand-in-hand manager and catcher. You're calling the game. You gotta be on point. You know, I'm not really going to blow. But that's too much.
It was a small thing.
It was a really small thing. But let's have some therapy time. I'm going to set the mood. Try to put you in a good calming space.
Nice, so calming, calming space.
We can talk out your playoff chase issues. Because okay. I watch it online. I watch Sox fans online. And I see the jitteriness, the anxiousness of actually having a team that is successful and that has hope. So yeah. I'm going to let you speak. I'm going to let you get everything off of your chest. I'm going to sit here with my little clipboard like Will.
And you help me with your postseason expertise and all the battles that you've had over the last five, 6 seasons.
Low-key, I'm just fucking drawing up shit. Fucking.
Okay, so here, it's actually a little divide in Sox Twitter right now because you got
also,
one
by the
half.
Way, while you do this, I'm going to drink my Trejo's Cerveza. It's a Mexican craft lager with
Danny
Trejo's face on it.
I miss beer.
So I'm assuming Danny Trejo's is called the Nectar of the Mexican Gods.
I haven't had a beer in like 2 months now.
I've been trying to portion control.
Well, I have a trainer now. He'll kick my ass if I'm drinking beer. As you, I'm in my carb crunch days. My stomach sounds like a fucking 808 right now because I haven't ate that much today. We on a carb cycle.
Your stomach sounds like power.
Exactly. But we have a divide between Sox fans right now and Sox Twitter. You got one half that's like, who cares? We're up 10 games in the loss column. We ain't had nobody healthy yet. You know, we can, you know, it's all about health more than it is about seed. You know, they'll worry when we get healthy, we'll start rolling. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. And you got people like me who, one, I have that in that what's the word I'm looking for? That irrational Chicago fan fear that Cleveland's going to rise from the ashes.
You haven't worked yourself out of it yet.
I haven't worked myself out of it yet. Is that Cleveland's going to rise from the ashes and, you know, make this a competition, especially with them being the soft part of their schedule, and we're in a pretty hard part of ours right now. The last real quote-unquote hard part of our schedule, I think September, outside of the Oakland series on the road, is pretty light. But my concern is this. Outside of my irrational fear, my concern is the ground ball rate on this team. This is one ground ball loving ass team. Now, this also goes to what the other half of Sox Twitter is saying. A lot of those rates come from us not having our full roster at the whole fucking time. I get that. But I'm in a belief that, yes, you're going to be a third seed. 9 times out of 10, unless something drastic happens over the last month, we're going to face Houston in the first round. When I face a playoff-tested team like the Houston Astros, I like to have home field advantage. I like to have it. I don't think we're at that tier of a team like the Los Angeles Dodgers or like the Houston Astros or even Tampa right now where it's just, oh, fuck it. It don't matter what seed we are. Just get healthy. Those, to me, are for playoff-tested teams. It don't matter where the hell the Dodgers are. They're going to be there. The White Sox, yeah, we went to the playoffs last year, but I feel like everything from that season, you got to kind of take with a grain of salt. And this was like my first full season watching. This is all our first full season watching baseball, you know, as a full 162 in two seasons. So I forgot how damn long the season. And on top of that, I haven't watched a season of good baseball with us being up in the playoffs in 13 years. I was fucking 20 that 2008 season that the White Sox went to the playoffs. Obama wasn't even fucking president yet. So it's like, I've forgotten just how long it is. So you can't really take too much from last year's playoff quote unquote experience. So I just want us to be in the most favorable position possible.
Now I kind of want to go through like all of the Chicago landmarks when the White Sox were, White Sox last won a championship. Derrick Rose was a junior in high school.
Oh, yeah. I don't think talking about 05? Yeah.
He hadn't won Illinois Mr. Basketball yet.
That was
John Shire was your best basketball player in the state of Illinois at the time.
Okay. Yeah, because D Rose is like 2 weeks older than me.
We were both juniors. We were just getting two Kanye albums in.
Yep.
And damn. Like low key, it might have been too many.
Obama just was the senator.
Created.
Obama was a senator because I remember he threw out senator. The pitch to game one of the ALCS.
He was a U.S. senator, barely a year in, and already making headlines for a possible White House bid. Your starting backcourt, or your starting five for the Chicago Bulls. Let me see if I have this correctly, because that's the start of the 05-06 season. Your point guard, obviously, is Kirk Heinrich. Your number two at the time. Who the fuck would have been the two on that 05-06 Bulls team?
Ben Gordon was on there?
No, well, Ben Gordon was six man. That's why I'm leaving him off. Okay, oh. but let's go to three. Noshioni was your three. I want to say Anthony Davis was the four, but I forgot if he was on that team or not. And then your number five was Kirk, was Tyson.
You mean Antonio Davis, nigga?
I said Antonio Davis.
You said Anthony Davis.
Antonio Davis. I couldn't remember if he was on that particular team or not. Actually, let's go look it up.
Remember when Antonio Davis went to the crowd to fight?
That was that year. Now, oh, sorry. I said Noshioni was your three. Luol Deng was your three.
Yes.
What a goof. Luol Deng was your three.
Didn't Nosh come off the bench?
Was fucking Eric Piekowski the two? Couldn't have been.
It wasn't Chris Duhon, was it?
No, Chris Duhon was your first point guard off the bench.
Oh, it was Kirk Heinrich then.
Kirk Heinrich was your point guard.
That's right. Nigga, I don't remember shit about that team.
Anyway, we got close enough. Anyway, yeah, Ben Gordon counts. It's been a really long fucking time.
It's been a long time.
Nomar Garciaparra was still a Chicago Cub.
Woo! So it's like, I just want to be in the most stable position. Was
still a Blackhawk. I can go on.
Shit. Patrick Kane and Jonathan Tate weren't even drafted yet.
Nope.
Like 2 years away, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe Jocelyn Thibault was still your goalie. It's a very long fucking time.
Them niggas weren't even on TV.
The Blackhawks weren't on fucking TV.
A lot of people don't remember that. Blackhawks were not on TV.
That's probably like the biggest stamp on how long it's been is the Blackhawks have gotten on TV and then suddenly become the biggest brand in the NHL.
So I'm glad you brought that up, 05, because 05 was the last time we were a contender. 08 was the last time we made the playoffs. But everybody with the fucking eyes knew that they weren't doing shit after that blackout game. But that old ass roster they had. But yeah, so it's like it's been a while. And my baseball knowledge is on such a higher level than it was when I was 17. So it's like I stress more about things. I just want to be in the best position possible. And I do think that home field out of the three major sports, baseball is probably the least impactful. I think basketball is where it's the most impactful. Mm-hmm. And then I would say football is right under, and then it'll be baseball. You see a lot of people went on the road.
I was going to say, where does hockey factor into that? But I feel like
I think baseball is more important than hockey.
Chance. Yeah. Because hockey is so chance. It's based off chance.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So to finish off I just want to be in the best position possible. And of course I do. I understand prioritizing health. Health should be the number. When we play the Cubs, we'll have our first full lineup for the first time all season. I am looking forward to that. But yes, I just want to be in the best possible position. So it's been stressing me out.
Okay. Well, I'm going to speak to the stress first and then I'm going to give an overall assessment of everything that you said and kind of my takeaway. I noticed from you, from other White Sox fans, this frustration of, these games in August to where, yes, in theory, they are meaningful. You are fighting for home field. Like you said, it matters a little bit less than it might in other sports, but the White Sox are the best home team in Major League Baseball. So to get that home field, it would really matter. And, of course you care about that.
Yes.
But it feels like when Sox fans are upset about, some of the issues, it's not necessarily the ones that are crippling. It's getting mad that Tim Anderson's getting a day off. Well, you got all this time between now and October to not only get him healthy, but then also get your reserves in so they can have as many reps as possible. If they got to step up come October.
If they're called upon, yeah.
Scott Pesetnik wasn't a starter.
He sure wasn't.
Jeff Blum was a reserve player. And those were dudes that stepped up in October, likely because they had those reps going down the line. Now, of course, Sox did slip a little bit, but it didn't hurt them. But
understatement.
understatement, but I'm trying to just point to the fact that, you want to get guys more overall reps, and then you also want to get guys healthy. That shit matters. What doesn't matter is whether or not you're having a bullpen day against Tampa. Yeah, of course, you want to beat Tampa. I think you've already proven you can beat Tampa. You
took 2-3 against them this year.
You took 2-3 in Chicago. So whether or not you get smacked by Chris Archer, which of course, it's kind of demoralizing. It's Chris Archer.
I mean, he didn't make it out the second inning. That nigga hip flared up on his ass.
Oh, that sucks.
That was made even worse. We got shut down by the bullpen. Three niggas with ERAs over 6.
Oh, I thought it was just a bullpen day. I didn't see the
No, they took him out because his hip, it was his first start since April. And his hip, started fucking up on him in the second inning.
He was trying to make a start and his hip fucked up and it just turned to a bullpen. Okay, so, but that's the thing. Ray's got a really good bullpen. So, that's so another
three niggas. Three niggas they threw was having a hard time lately.
Hey, I'm always gonna trust Kevin Cash with that. Well, besides the World Series,
yeah.
Besides in the World Series, but I mean, alas, it's always the things that White Sox fans really shouldn't be complaining about that get them all riled up. And I just want you guys just to be calm and just be cool and understand that this is not the sprint anymore. You guys are marathoning this. You guys are more worried about getting to October, making sure your lineup is 100%. You're almost at 100% for the first time this season.
Yep.
Wow. Miraculous. Once you get Yasmani Grandal back, It's all systems go. You're gonna have a expansion with the 40 man roster coming in September. So you're gonna have even more guys. Jake Berger, Gavin, she's already up.
How many people can you call up when roster?
So I believe they changed the rules. It used to be where you have your whole 40 man roster available to you each day. Now I believe it's you're allowed to have two more players active for those games. You can use any of your 40-man roster without having to send them up or down and wasting if you haven't wasted an option or whatever. But the roster would expand. The day-to-day roster would expand for 26 to 28.
Okay.
That's how I read the rule.
So probably La Russa did say they're gonna carry three catchers, which is ridiculous. But so
have an option of carrying four.
Okay, so I know Gavin Sheets is definitely gonna be one of the callers. I'm not too sure about
Berger's gonna. I think Berger. You might not see Berger a whole ton, but Berger's on the 40-man roster. It kind of be pointless not to use him in spot starts. You're gonna have a lot of guys who are gonna be filling in. Where they need to go. And hey, some of them might end up on the World Series roster because XYZ happens. You never know. I just want Sox fans just to be easy. Of course your heart doesn't want to be easy. I think I saw something, I forgot the exact tweet that was responded to. But someone was just, basically saying like, hey, level out, some of these games really don't matter. Why do you care so much? And the response was, why would I care? Why wouldn't I care if my team wins? Well, of course, yeah, you want your team to win, but it's not the end of the world when you're 10.5 games up. And nobody sees the Cleveland Guardians stepping up.
So I don't even think the Cleveland Guardians see themselves. So that's why they traded us their second baseman.
Yeah.
I mean.
So be easy. You guys are coasting into the playoffs. It's a formality. It's gonna take an epic collapse, and by all means, if that happens, then fire everybody. But I don't see that happening. Nobody sees that happening. It absolutely shouldn't happen. That's not to say that the White Sox don't have their issues. You mentioned Craig Kimbrel, and this is the main issue why. I didn't want him to be the eighth inning guy. I felt like he deserves to be the ninth inning guy. Liam Hendricks is a pitcher to me that seems that he is flexible. Whether he's working in the eighth inning or the ninth inning, whether he's setting somebody up, whether he's closing out games, whether he's going multiple innings. Craig Kimbrel is a closer where you call on him in the ninth, he has the confidence to be the great closer that he is. And he is going to shut the door on you. What I've sensed since they've moved him into this eighth inning role because they trust Liam more because Liam had that hot start, he's lost his confidence. He is not finding the strike zone. His control is so wonky and his control is so all over the place. It's reminiscent of that first year in on the north side when he showed up late. He wasn't finding the strike zone at all. His shit was getting clubbed. And eventually, they had to take him out of the closer role, let him work in a setup role, kind of get himself right before he could be trusted as closer again. And he showed up this year and was dominant. So with Kimbrel, we really kind of regressed in, where he's at mentally with his role in the bullpen. And that's been a severe detriment because you when they're on, you have the best one to punch. And, not only that, you can go to a bummer who's, he can be up or down. I feel like he's been trending more upward lately.
I think Bummer's had a case of bad luck more than he's been bad. Like, only the stupidest shit happens when Bummer's on the mound. Like, it's really, but his last 12 outings, he's been really, really good.
I'm gonna check his FIP in just a bit, but you have what's my man's Mario Winans, Michael Kopech. God, I love that. I can remember that.
By the way, I don't know whose plan is worse. Matt Nagy's plan for Justin Fields or the White Sox plan for Michael Kopech. It makes no sense how they're managing him, in my personal opinion.
Yeah.
They treat this nigga like a baby, but whatever. Go ahead.
Yeah, very fair point. Aaron Bummer's ERA is 4.22. His xFIP is 3.09. So, yeah, I would agree he's been getting a lot of bad luck. You know, you have Kopech, who is going to give you multiple innings out of the bullpen, be kind of your bridge piece, and then he can also spot start you. And kind of judging by how Keuchel's play, I know you mentioned a couple months ago, but judging by how Keuchel's played, you might want to think about it and having Kopech start in a playoff game.
I mean, but they're not
even
letting
him. Or at least having Keuchel as the short leash. And then
they're not even letting fucking Michael Kopech work out of situations like we're seeing right now, the current game that's going on. They babying his ass. I can't stand that shit.
Is that Ruiz?
No, that's fucking Liam Hendricks.
Okay.
Because they took Michael Kopech out. My point exactly. And now we finna get. Now you got Vlad Guerrero up with bases loaded. We know how this is going to end. All
right, hey, you know, might be the biggest home run in Toronto since Jose Bautista. But we'll see. I guess to bring it home, and you know, I mentioned the off days. I mentioned the bullpen. I mentioned Tony. You know, White Sox fans have to look at it this way. You and the Brewers have the best two rotation/bullpens pitching staffs in baseball. And for that reason alone, I think the White Sox and the Brewers are going to get overlooked in the playoffs for what they can do and how far they can go. If you can trust
also,
that,
we're in two of the worst divisions in baseball.
In two of the worst divisions in baseball, which, like, you know, you can weigh that however you want to. But
I mean, they still got two playoff teams, though.
The dominance of the pitching staffs, you know, anything can happen, anything's possible. But, you know, I do understand the faults that White Sox fans have, but, like, yo, just ease up, chill out. Anyway, my overall assessment of just, you know, everything that you said, everything that you're feeling, I understand you, man. I feel you, man. And I get the sense from you, as Hendricks walks the bases loaded, I get the sense from you that you're scarred from past playoff disappointment. Do I have that right?
No, what in Chicago history? Because White Sox ain't been there that much.
In Chicago.
Oh, yeah, in Chicago.
Of the teams that you love.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, man.
For sure.
You've.
I remember 2018, nigga, the Bears. I got so gassed up, nigga. And I felt like somebody shot me in that bar when Cody Parkey missed that kick. Yeah, so it's like you have the irrational fear of something. And I don't think that's going to go away until this team proves that they're a winner. You know what I'm saying? Like, if we go to, like, the Blackhawks, even in the tough moments, you knew they were going to pull this out. Because they had that championship fortitude. You know what I'm saying? We don't know. This team is very fucking young.
But you mentioned the Blackhawks, and I actually want to ship out the Blackhawks because, let's be real, we wasn't fucking watching hockey growing up.
Of course not. Yeah.
The love that we have for hockey ain't as strong as our love for other sports and for other teams. So, like, with that being known, I want to strip that part out because that was kind of like a here's how life could be if, you know, I waited so fucking long to have a team go on a dynasty run. Here's what life could be if the Bulls did this.
Right.
And, you know, you, since 98, and for me since 98, the fucking Cubs, you've experienced one true victory since 98, and that's the White Sox. And it was a beautiful, loving, fleeting moment for you, but that's what it was. It was lightning in a bottle for you. It wasn't something that you could, you know, grab onto and take a hold because just like as quick as you had that joy, you won what 90 games the next year. You were really good, but you weren't.
And
good
then
enough.
The whole fucking division.
It's good, but not good
but it's
enough.
Not enough. The whole three teams in the Central in 2006 won 90 plus games,
which is wild. Which is
and
wild.
We finished third.
Hey, I can't remember. Would you guys have been the second wild card if we would have had a wild card playoff?
Yeah, we'd have been the second wild card.
And
the
Detroit. Detroit was pretty decent that year, though.
But see, Detroit went to the World Series that year. You bring up a good point, too, because it's like, even with 05, like, I feel like 05 was a crazy year because even as good as we were, I don't think anybody expected what the fuck happened. You know what I'm saying? It's just one of those things where we just kind of got rolling. Even though we won.
How many games did you win?
We won 99.
2004?
2004, we won 88, I think. 82?
2004?
84.
84 wins in 2004.
Yeah. 84. It was Ozzie first year. 83. Okay.
You finished second in the Central to, I want to say, the Twins.
Yeah, because Twins went to the ALDS that year. What was it? ALCS that year. They played the Yankees.
Now, take me back, because, you know, I was more focused on what the Cubs were doing and, you know, the loss of Sammy and really trying to make good on your past couple of years of failure. So I don't remember what the expectations were going, oh, you guys got a lucky double play.
Lucky double play.
Nice. Yeah. So I don't remember what the expectations were for the Sox going into that season. What were the expectations going into that?
For 05?
For 05.
We were projected to finish fourth in the division in 2005. Because a lot of people upset about...
Who was last? Detroit?
I think it was Detroit. Yeah, it was Detroit. Yeah, Cleveland was second, Minnesota was third. Yeah, Detroit was last. So a lot of people were upset about the moves that they made that year. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people were upset about that Carlos Reed.
He wasn't traded. He was released, right?
I think he was traded. I think Max was traded.
Didn't he go somewhere before he went to Detroit?
Nah, I don't think so. I think it was White Sox to Detroit.
Maglio Ordóñez. Oh, no, yeah. No, he signed with Detroit. He's a free agent.
Okay, he's a free agent. Okay. Because I know he had some bad blood with the Sox when he left. He said, yeah, like, some things about Kenny. It's Ozzie. Oh, that's who it was. Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a lot of people upset about the Scott Pacetnik for Carlos Lee trade. A lot of people didn't understand it. And they were trying to build the team in Ozzie's image, pretty much. And that was a team that just, like, came out killing shit. And then Frank got injured, like, in June or July of that year. I think it was June. And, you know, we had 99 wins, but nobody picked us to do anything. I remember every series. We were underdog. And everybody like, oh, Boston's the defending champions. They came back 0-3 last year. They're going to beat the White Sox. You get to the ALCS.
Call cap on that. Nobody thought you were underdog against Houston. You saw haters.
A lot of people that, yeah, that rotation. They can't score on that rotation. Roy Oswalt, Roger Clemens, Andy Pettit. Who's the other nigga?
Roger Clemens is the best pitcher in the game. I say what he did in New York City. I say what he did in the Bronx. When he's on, you can't touch him. You cannot touch Roger Clemens.
That whole shit, I remember that. And just is like, you know, I remember like key moments of where I was at in my life. And of course, when they won the World Series, it was actually on my 17th birthday. But I remember where I was at. I never forget game one. This story probably TMI, but I was at my homie's house to watch game one of the World Series, and his mom, sweetest lady ever, she made us some sloppy joes. Some of them sloppy joes had your man on the toilet. I missed like four innings, nigga. Like, and I never forget. That was one of the worst stomach aches I ever had in my life.
Now, so, now remind me, game one, was that a Freddy Garcia start?
No, that was Jose Contreras. Freddy Garcia was a clincher.
Okay, because it was Jose Contreras.
Mark Burley was game two.
Jose Contreras, Mark Burley, what's that?
Garland was three.
John Garland was three, and Freddy Garcia was four. Okay.
Yeah, Freddy Garcia was four, yeah. Oh, everybody's talking about Coach Burley going to get fired. This nigga got an extension.
Who? I kept thinking of that as they went on through the playoffs, because he was so close. He was an inch close from being fired. Now he's a world champion, got an extension. He's, you know, got a legacy to start. Lucky.
But, yeah, so, man, I just, you know, with this one, it's a little different. Like, you know, I got to keep telling myself, it's extremely, extremely young-ass team. This is Luis Robert's first – and you can't even say first season. The nigga missed, like, three fucking months. Yeah. But, you know what I'm saying? So, it's Eloy's second. Well, it goes back to that. He missed the whole damn season. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, all these niggas have not played a lot. You know what I'm saying? It's going to take them time to develop. You're finally seeing Dylan Cease make a little stride. This is the most innings he's ever pitched. His last three starts been really fucking good. He was awesome tonight. So you're starting to see just, you know, this is a young team and there's expectations with that. So, you know, it's just my usual freaking out that I'm doing. But I do want to see better play in the month of September. You know what I'm saying? I want to see us start to get into playoff form. You know what I'm saying? You know, if everything.
I guess make my entire point, because you're trying to like go off on tangents. Like, finish my entire point. You know, you've only seen that one, you know, moment of happiness, of sports happiness, true sports happiness, since 1998. You remember the shit as a kid and grasp on that and really build on that to, you know, obviously you're always going to be a big ass fan, but you got to think about the teams and the franchises and the fan bases that have continuously and consistently been good and won. Name one of them besides the Lakers, because they're a different fucking breed. The fuck? Name one of them that doesn't know how to bring a level of rationality to a situation if they are not going to win. Yankee fans are different. Yankee fans are different because when the Yankees are consistently winning, they're chill.
Okay, well, yeah.
Them niggas ain't won a championship since 2009. So there's,
which is like 30 years for Yankee fans.
Boston Red Sox. You really didn't see Red Sox fans jump themselves off a cliff. You saw them lie to themselves when they traded Mookie Betts. But there was no reason to really jump off a cliff, because as a Red Sox fan, I've been seeing, like, I've been cloud nine.
Right, exactly.
So what do I have to really be worried about here, okay? Miami Heat fans, who can be a little bit irrational. But what do Miami Heat fans really got to be pissed about? Yo, my team is pretty decent. Yeah, I got swept last year. That really fucking sucks.
They made the finals. I got Kyle Lowry, nigga.
They made the finals. I got BB. I'm not going to do it. I live in fucking Miami. You know why?
I live in Miami, nigga.
It's, you know, I feel like it's the teams that are able to undergo years of sustained success. Obviously, if you are, you know, shit for a really long time, you know, you're going to start to overreact as a fan. But you wind up being chill. And honestly, for me, man, I feel like I look at you and I truly feel like if in order for you to break the chains of irrationality as a sports fan and just...
I need consistency.
Just to chill out. Not even just consistency. You might not even just need consistency. I think that you need the team that you love to the most. Like the team that your heart is just so pumped into. You need them to win it all.
So I need the Bears to win it all.
And then that will finally allow you to make... Because there's a lot of... And I understand that too. And I guess for me, like, I want to see the Bears win desperately because I love the Bears. But for me, like, when the Cubs won, that was a huge chip that I felt just got taken off my shoulder as a sports fan and just allowed me just to sit, chill, and just watch the game. And, you know, if they lose, like, I'm upset. But, you know, I'm going to get over it. I'm not saying everybody develops it, because I still don't think Eagles fans have. But I do think that if you would have that one team, whether it was the White Sox and they go on, like, a dynasty run, or just the Bears get that one.
But I agree with that. It has to be the Bears because, you know, as crazy as I am about the White Sox, they're number three on my who I love the most list. You know, people forget, like, the Bears are at the top. The Bulls are right under them motherfuckers. It's just them. They've been so non-competitive for so damn long. It's just I forget just how much I love that team. But the White Sox can win a World Series this year, and it's not going to feel like how it would be if the Bears win, because this would be the second World Series I've seen in my lifetime.
Okay. Would it at least make you your heart ease up on White Sox games?
Oh, for sure.
If they won the World Series next year, like next year it was like the Cubs in 2017, where we were kind of skittish in June and then all of a sudden we took off.
It would take the pressure off for sure, because more than anything, I just want a championship out of this round. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to look 5 years from now, I'm like, damn, nigga, we ain't get shit. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like if you look at every team that did the quote-unquote rebuild method that we've all been, they all got a championship. You know what I'm saying? The Royals got a championship. The Cubs got a championship. The Astros got a championship. Whether they did it legally or not, whatever, they got the championship. I don't want to be the first team to not get the championship from this new model of rebuilding.
The Yankees didn't do the rebuild, so never mind.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, I want the Dodgers to buy this shit. And they have a top-tier system. They never rebuild. Them niggas have been division champions for like a decade.
Yeah.
So that's a different situation. They are the new Yankees. The Dodgers are the new standard.
The fact that they got 1-8 or 1-9, I believe, to me is kind of, it's kind of suspect. we praise the Dodgers for – oh, sorry, we praise the Braves for 1-14, but, like, nigga, y'all went to –
Three World Series
in that, because I believe they went 91-92. So five World Series, you niggas only won one. Word.
Yeah. Word. Yes. But yeah, I do. If we win one, all the pressure that I have with this team will come off for sure. But yeah, you're right. This is definitely like a therapy session. The Bears, as everything in my life, it comes back to that goddamn team on the lake.
The Chicago Bears are goddamn suspect.
Everything in my life comes down to that goddamn team on the lake. And they power my pair. And I can guarantee you, if the Bulls have a really, really good season, I'm like, well, nigga, we need to keep winning these games. Nigga, we need to get the top 2 seed. It's going to happen. It's just going to fucking happen. And I think the thing about me, too, is I worry about a lot of shit, except unlike with my sports, I keep it to myself. Like, a lot of people won't know that I'm worried about some shit because I feel like if you're the captain of a ship, if the captain know the ship finna sink, you can't be like, oh, shit, nigga, we finna die. And then anybody else on that motherfucker gonna be panicking, too. So I try to keep calm in that. But in sports, I lose my cool. I lose my cool. You know what I'm saying? So I know October comes. Okay. October comes. It's going to be whether if we win it all, if we get eliminated, it's going to be a long 2-3 weeks. So I'm preparing myself mentally.
Yeah, man. Hey, I keep saying, try as hard as you can to enjoy the ride.
I will try.
It's much better. I of course everybody likes to say like, yeah, I like watching my team ain't in it. I'm chill. Fuck that. You want to see your team out there competing and being great and being in the conversation and hopefully winning. Like that shit's fun. That shit's cool. The Cubs had their little run for 6 years and. You know, there would be times where I'm like, man, like, I really want that second ring. But, dog, the Cubs are going to the NLCS.
I have a question for you. Did you enjoy, did you fully enjoy the full run?
Hell yeah.
Okay.
Well, the only reason I don't say I didn't fully enjoy the run because I wasn't in Chicago for much of it. Like, the parts that mattered. Had I been home for the parts that mattered.
Where the hell were you?
It's in Peoria.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So, like, had I been through 3 hours up northeast, like, everything would have been good. But, like, as far as, like, from a baseball standpoint, I got to see them niggas go to 3 straight NLCSs. Like, imagine, like, the Chicago Cubs every year battling for the NLCS. Like, yeah, we got an ass smacked by the Dodgers in that last one, and it sucked. But, like, another great playoff ride because, God, they couldn't hit in that fucking National Series. But you had high drama throughout that. And oh my goodness, is that a home run? No, it's not. That's pulled. Even you know, into that game 5, you had hella drama. Like that's what I'm fucking want. I've always wanted the Cubs to be relevant, you know, and to have that kind of stigma break. You know, yeah, they back in the ghetto right now, but you know, they broke the stigma of being lovable losers. So like, yeah, of course I fucking enjoy it. I was gonna see if there was another like sports team run that I would say that I enjoyed, but like who else had a run?
That's nobody a good else question.
Had a fucking run. The Bulls had their run in the mid 2010s, but they never got over the hump.
Had they gotten
to the finals, then I would have.
They had one good year when they were really, really good. That was 2010, 2011.
They had one in the possible.
And then Derek got hurt. Yeah. And they ruined everything.
They had one in the possible. And you know, it was what it was. But yeah, no team of mine has had that kind of sustained success since the Bulls, except for the Cubs. But yeah, man.
Thank you for that therapy. I
tried to make it as therapeutic as possible.
Feel a little better.
Yeah, man. You niggas are gonna be all right. Look at that. Look at that. You can never tell me that like Cubs fans can't look out for little brothers. We care about y'all. We love y'all to an extent. You guys are little fuckers, but
like, we all come together to watch our son, Justin Fields, whenever he does fucking play.
Yeah, man. Let's move on. Let's talk about some of the other teams. What's going on? What else is going on around the league? I don't have the Yankees score pulled up right now, but last
I think it's like 4-2.
Thrilling game. It is 5-3 in the bottom of the eighth.
Who has the lead? It's the Yankees.
The
right?
Yankees are up by 2. Now the Braves have been playing pretty decent ball. They had their little stretch of games. They were dominant, but they played the Nationals, the Orioles, and the Marlins. They swept all of them on the road. Whoopty fucking do. So we're not going to spend a lot of time talking about the National League East leaders. Pray to God, like Philadelphia, do something with Bryce Harper. Love fucking.
Yeah, yeah, something's got to give.
You are turning that nigga into Texas Ranger A-Rod. Please.
You know, I barely remember that A-Rod Texas Ranger. How long was he there? Like,
the fuck
was
watching the Texas Rangers? Three.
Right. Right. Yeah, and also
he won an MVP and nobody gave a shit.
We didn't have access to any games outside of our market in that era either.
It was tough times, man. Like, I don't know how the fuck I'm gonna explain to my kids, like, yo, I can only watch my teams. I couldn't sit here and just like shit and chill and watch all the games that I want to.
Which is also why
I'm not gonna explain to my kids that there was a time before Red Zone.
Ooh, yeah. I don't miss those times.
when I had to watch Chicago Bear football,
literally had to watch because it's the only game available.
And the other game was like the fucking Bengals and the Colts. Like, why the fuck do I want to watch that?
Carson Palmer.
Fuck out of here. Yeah, I watch Alonso Cinco, but that's it. But yeah, we ain't really going to be spending much time talking about the National League East. By the way, the Mets look terrible. And you see that swing from Javi Baez earlier?
It's peak. That's why I call him the Russell Westbrook of baseball. Peak Javi Baez. When he hot.
Nah, I'm never.
Naughty nut.
I'm never going to sit here and act like I don't love Javi Baez. Good God. That. Listen, the only reason I'm going to give like credence to he might come back is because you might be able to get him on a discount. That nigga's OPS is garbage.
You don't think the Mets will pay? Yeah, so, you don't think the Mets will pay that nigga?
I mean, Lindor gonna have to come.
If Lindor say, "Yo, this my Lindor boy,"
Lindor gonna have to give up that personal trainer, that personal chef that he got, his personal limo driver.
He gonna have to rearrange all his perks in his contract.
He gonna have to give up the dude that makes sure that he doesn't have any yellow Starburst in his bowl. Like, I don't know. Depending on, because the Cubs offered them, I want to say, somewhere around $214 million. I can't remember what the year was.
Ooh, Javi? They offered him that much?
That was sometime around 2019 where he was still really playing good. And then the slide happened in a pandemic shortened year last year. And then obviously this year they didn't really make any progress on anything. But at that peak, it was somewhere around, you know, early $200 million. Judging by your reaction, you're definitely not paying that.
Hell no. He'd be lucky if he get 150.
I was gonna say, do you think 120 is a decent range?
150.
You work out something like 6 years, 120. That's an average of like I'm bad at math. God damn it. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. This is Reading Rainbow, sponsored by the Barber Chair. Anyway, yeah, he's going to be getting paid a lot of money, I guess. But it's not, you know, I feel like that's a lot more manageable if, you know, Cubs want to bring him back and he doesn't get the offers that he think he deserves.
Well.
Because the cap hit, he adjusted.
I don't know. I feel like, well, they've been saying that I don't think any of them dudes are coming back. But Javi would probably be the most likely one. But I think, obviously, we know it's not going to be KB. Rizzo, after we see the little beef he's had with the little comments in the media, that ain't going to happen now either. Nah. So, yeah, if there was anybody, it would probably have to be Javi. But I don't think Javi coming back
shout
either.
Shout out to Jed Hoyer for, you know, being a true Ricketts man. I see you, bro.
True company guy.
Day after I gave him all that love and all that respect, that nigga just threw all that shit into him.
True company guy?
Yeah, true company dude.
He even brought the White Sox in his interview with Cap. He said, you know, you would like loyalty, you know, like guys like Lance Lynn. I was like, okay.
You know what gets you loyalty, Jed Hoyer?
Money.
It's paying your players,
yes.
Your good players, while they're still young.
Your franchise
sure set up financially and not tampering with their money, playing with their money, so you can dilly-dally with service time. That is what trust is. That's what the White Sox and Rick Hahn do. That's always something I've, you know, given Rick Hahn and the Sox credit for, is they take care of their boys early. Sometimes it's a detriment, Dejan Vicieto. But most times, he gets it
right. Don't bring that up again, man.
Most times, he gets it right. And
I just thought about Alex Rios today, nigga. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I thought of Alex Rios a couple weeks ago. I didn't know he stayed there for like 4 years.
Yeah, he was there for a minute. That's how he got Garcia.
he was there for a long ass minute. Lord, he got him a ring too, which is, I guess, cool.
Who did he get a ring with?
Kansas City.
He was on that Royals team. I forgot about that.
Yep. So did everybody else. Anyway, back to the New York Yankees. The Yankees, they have just been tearing the cover off the ball. They've been getting great pitching from Nestor Cortes Jr., Lewis Gill, Jordan Montgomery's been pitching really well lately, kind of stabilizing that pitching rotation, which of course none of us trust. But they done racked off 10 straight.
If they win today, it'll be 11. That'd be the highest win streak since 1985, I think.
Word? Holy shit.
I saw that on SportsCenter this morning.
That's crazy when you got when they had a 114 win season and this would be the highest win streak. That's crazy. Yeah, man. The Yankees are surging. The Yankees have the best record in baseball in August. If they win this game, they'll be 18-4 in this month. They took apart the Red Sox last week. Red Sox, they need to beat up on some lesser teams because they're reeling right now. But
when they get to play Cleveland this weekend.
Jameson Taillon has also been having a pretty decent season so far. Man, once the Yankees like finally get everybody back together, because Rizzo finally got off of the COVID list, which do you see me right here? I ain't saying, you know.
I'm just saying. Take care.
Luke Voit is finally back, and he was showing some attitude. Like, yo, Rizzo, man, this ain't your job. You just here visiting. I stay here. I live here. You know, the lineup started to come together. The Yankees are showing some fight, and I don't think they'll catch the Rays, but they're going to be a threatening team if they host a wild card game.
The streets need a Yankee-Red Sox wild card game.
Oh.
By the way, Craig Kimbrell.
Do you Liam imagine, Hendricks, do you, nigga, New nigga York will out. Be, this will be intensifying in New York. The, will intensify, the gabagool will intensify if fucking we get Yankees Red Sox in the wild card game.
It'll be awesome. Didn't they have a series like that the year the Red Sox?
Yeah, they played in the ALDS and the Red Sox 1-4. Yankees, I believe, won game one in Fenway, and then Red Sox won game four. Yankees won game two because Judge was going off, and then the Red Sox swept them in Yankee Stadium. So it was a formality. Red Sox were the best team in baseball that year. But yeah, I felt cheated out because we're so used to the Yankees and Red Sox having a 7-game series in the ALCS. You know, I don't want that fight. I'm gonna say to Paul Pierce, like, I want to just taste it. I want the whole load. You know, that's how I feel about Yankees Red Sox. Either give me a 7-game series and give me drama every night, or give me the wild card.
Yeah,
and
with game seven vibes.
Right, with game seven vibes, and you want tooth and nail for a spot.
I like that in Yankee Stadium.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't really want it
with all those retired cops. Yelling all those racial slurs.
the cop police union.
Raphael Devers, yeah.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, man. Red Sox have really been really free-falling. Like I said, Yankees swept them. They've kind of been trying to right the ship. I believe they won today. Who did they play? They were at home. Or they're at home. I don't think the game's over. Oh, God. It's a 9-8 game against the Twins. The Twins have scored 5 runs in the 6th and the 7th. So this is a ball game. Strap in. Anyway, Red Sox. They've lost 13 of the last 20. The offense is not playing very well. Their bullpen arms that got at the deadline aren't pitching well. It's kind of scary hours for Boston, just like another team in the National League. We'll talk about it.
Yeah, we'll talk about some. America's favorite.
Yeah. The only reason that, like, you're not too worried about Boston is Oakland's been terrible as well. And nobody trusts. And nobody
chickens again. Go ahead. Continue what you were saying.
77. Jesus Christ. I mean, really, I was just tossing you. Just kind of get your feelings on the Red Sox and the slide. But, you know, or Oakland, too. Like, you played Oakland. You beat Oakland. I'm going to keep it real. A lot of White Sox fans was, like, boasting their chest after y'all beat 3 or 4, took 3 or 4 Oakland. Y'all said we couldn't be good teams. Well, Oakland's in the worst stretch of their season. So, like,
yeah. I feel. But, yeah, but if we'd have lost that series, it would have been White Sox record against teams over 500.
Right. So, fair point. Fair point. Also, man, that's nasty.
Yeah, man, that shit looked nasty. That shit definitely. I'm glad the surgery was successful today. It wasn't as bad as it looked. But yeah. As far as the Red Sox are just kind of more. I think they're coming back down to earth. Like, and when we did our preseason pod months ago, I didn't even have them making the playoffs. You know, I didn't see what you know how they're going to do this for an entire fucking season. Now
they're gonna pass their projected win total. So if you took that, like I told you to, congratulations.
So it's like, you know, I just think it's a matter of
I'm gonna be full like, Al Michaels all this football season was just the sly mentions. So do you think the Bears can get to 17.5 points this week?
I'm so glad I'm not a gambler. And if your bet is can the Bears get to 17.5 points, what quarterback is playing?
Exactly.
If that's Andy Dalton, good fucking luck, nigga. Good fucking luck.
I might be taking the Bears points under all the time because not only are you getting Andy Dalton, at least as long as Andy Dalton started, because not only are you getting Andy Dalton, you're getting Matt Nagy play calling. That's a recipe for no points.
Matthew Nagy. Who I think. He's a nice guy.
We're back. Sorry, folks. Can't mess up the money.
No, we cannot.
Yeah, man. I think Boston will get in because I don't know. You know, obviously Oakland has been struggling. They've been stumbling. Losing Bassett is that's the best picture. That's a big blow. And then of course with Seattle, and you know I've been praising Seattle, and I think they're going to be good eventually. I hope this isn't one of them years where, like, you know, they're fake decent and then next year they're back at the bottom of the West because I really do want to see them start to take off. But, like,
Their general manager can't be selling assets like Michael Jackson.
Right. Can't be selling assets to a division rival.
To a division fucking rival.
Yeah. Imagine, you got Diego Castillo. Imagine if you got Diego Castillo and Kendall Graveman.
Right.
Yes. Wow.
But to answer your question on the Red Sox, I think it's the mix of them slumping and just a little bit of come back down to earth. But with that being said, I do think they're going to hold on to one of those wild card spots. Like you brought up with Oakland. Oakland has been playing really, really bad. I don't think Toronto has enough pitching, which has been their problem all year, to get over that hump after that. They had a nice run. It's beating the shit out of Boston, too, for a minute. And now they've been on a little rut going on. So I think – I kind of feel like we're on a collision course, that Yankee-Red Sox thing. And if you're a Yankee fan, you might want to be one. Or, you know, it's one of those things where they need all these wins too. You know what I'm saying? I think their playoff spot's going to come down to the last weekend.
And you know what makes it like the story of the Yankees win streak just awesome is you got a guy from the Bronx on the team. Andrew Velasquez was like
his dad is a cop.
Oh, damn. Come on, man.
Yeah, you didn't see the New York Police Department tweet out one of our own? And I was like, oh, nothing like a cop feel-good story here. It ruined it for me, too.
No better place in Yankee Stadium. No,
his dad's picking up kids on the block. They wasn't kids on the block.
Oh, no, he was picking up the kids to go play basketball with them?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they were doing? Oh.
That was most least satisfying White Sox win ever.
So was that? Yeah, how did that feel, man? Like, genuinely.
What?
The Field of Dreams game.
The Field of Dreams game, I the whole experience was great. I was trashing that shit. I still think that movie is fucking terrible.
It's garbage. You finally watched it?
I watched it the night before.
What are your thoughts on Field of Dreams?
It's white propaganda. It's like Hoosiers. It's like a baseball version of Hoosiers. And he did this whole little drawn out thing because Kevin Costner was seeing dead people in his dreams, which is funny as hell to me. And the whole thing, they prioritized this thing. And so it's a White Sox movie. And you still got Shoeless Joe Jackson on the ban list. It's like, it's typical baseball. Not to say that they shouldn't be banned because that's you threw the fucking World Series. But it's just a certain things that white people find special that I just didn't like. And the cornfield and the jerseys felt a tad racist to me. Like, this is when things were better when the niggas jerseys couldn't felt vote. A
tad racist. The setting.
The setting felt racist.
Like, listen, like, you got them players coming out of cornfields. I'm pretty sure a little bit past some cornfields, you can find some cotton.
And, you know, but once the game actually started after the corny Kevin Costner intro, which was beyond corny,
I'm not gonna lie, I did like the players coming out of the cornfields. That was a dope visual.
I'll say this about Kevin Costner.
Fuck Kevin Costner, I'm talking about the players. By the way, Sox win. I'm talking about the players. They had the 4K cameras while they were, you know, going through the cornfields. Like, that was good. That was a cool visual.
And that was also good to see them kids get tips from A-Rod, Frank Thomas, and Big Poppy. I thought that was cool, too. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, man. But once the actual game started, it was fucking a blast. Just everything about it. And I knew it was going to be. And by the way, I predicted the score in the first inning. I predicted the score in the first inning, and I knew a lot of home runs were going to be. It was great. You know, on them ESPN, Fox microphones, them home runs sound like gunshots. Uh-huh. And just the way it was happening, and honestly, the way we won was kind of cool. You know what I'm saying? How Hendricks blew that lead, but Tim Anderson.
It was two black dudes. It's two black dudes who were the star of the show. Aaron Judge hit two home runs.
Yep.
Three. Mike Stanton hit the go-ahead, right?
Stanton hit
the game tire, Stanton hit the go-ahead.
Yeah, I felt that Stanton home run. Like, you know when Mike Breen yells bang on your team? Yeah. On the receiving end of a three?
Bang!
Nigga, I felt that. I felt that Joe Buck, Stanton hits it, and that's gone! Yankees lead!
I'm going to tell you the difference between a great call and a decent call. And you gonna call me a hater for this, but this is a feeling that I've had for a very long time about Lynn Casper. I think Lynn calling games is great. Mm. I think Lynn, when he gets too excited, can irritate the fuck out of me because he hits this inflection that cracks his voice so terribly. And his White Sox win. I'm sitting here like, dog, that is. And he does that a lot. He did that when the Ramos Ramirez hit that monster home run against the Brewers at one time, and I hated him for that. Like, I hate when he does that. Joe Buck has perfected the walk off home run call, the end of game big game call. He just knows the tone. And the way that he ended that shit with Tim Anderson was really dope. But
every Joe Buck game, when I hear Joe Buck, it feels like it's an important game. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Joe Buck is kind of like what Marv Albert was to basketball, where he, like, if you heard Marv Albert calling that basketball game.
If you are a 90s kid, you remember the Marv Albert playoff game. Mm-hmm. Michael Jordan, what do you think about Bob Costas? I like Bob Costas, too.
I like Bob Costas. I don't know. It's kind of hard to, because he's more of a narrative based. Kind of in the line of Vin Scully, but like Vin, I look at as an expert storyteller, whereas Bob Costas can, you know, kind of force his way down certain roads and situations because he's a journalist, right?
Shout out to Vin Scully. Vin Scully is a cool old white man. I met that nigga 5 years ago when I was working at the FedEx in UCLA. I think it was like his birthday or something, like. And we made something for him. Yeah, shout out to Vince Scully.
Shout out to Vince Scully.
But actually, when you talking about Lynn Casper, you have a good point because actually I didn't like Lynn when he was with the Cubs. But I think the difference between Lynn and Benetti is a better caller, at least better commentator than Casper. But I like Casper's home run call. I like that his voice breaks up and he sounds like a fan.
You like that he's excited.
It sounds like he's a fan about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I like Benetti's home run calls too, but Benetti's just so professional with it. Like, it sounds professional. You know, when it's like Lynn Casper, he's a fan. He gets excited, and that's what I love about it. Now, I will say this. Now, I miss Hawk's home run calls. I'm sorry. I don't miss a lot about Hawk Harrison.
Of course, because
I miss the home run calls.
It's like if John Sterling went away, Yankee fans are gonna miss the "it is high, it is far, it is gone."
See ya.
You're gonna miss that. You're gonna miss the goofy fucking calls that John Sterling does.
Yankees win. The Yankees win.
And like Cub fans missed Harry Carey doing the seventh in a stretch. And hi, did you see who hit the game running home run yesterday? Rafael Ortega. Rafael Ortega. That sounds like a Rafael Ortega sounds like a Mexican tortilla dish. Hey, did you know Kyle Hendricks leads the Major League Baseball and wins? It's the first time a soft guy who tosses soft balls has ever won consistently. Do I like who?
Who is your favorite Bulls announcer?
All time. Wayne Larrabee. And I was very glad I got to meet him at the when I covered the 2016 March Madness when Xavier played down in St. Louis. Wayne Larrabee was calling a game on radio for Westwood One. And I was glad to run into him in the hallway. I just stopped him. I said that, like, yo, I am very upset that you took your ball and you went up north to fucking Green Bay. because you are the soundtrack of my childhood. Like, I miss Wayne Larrabee calling, you know, big games on WGN, and it's, you know, 3-point calls ringing up. You know, Wayne Larrabee calling a fucking basketball game. It's just smooth, and he was great at it. He's still good at football. He's still great when he's calling fucking Rodgers and Packer here. So,
I love Johnny Red. I always, you know, Michael Shakespeare.
Red, I like more as a color commentator. I think if you compare the color commentators, I prefer Red to Stacey. And that's no disrespect to Stacey.
I love Stacey, man.
Because I've gotten Stacey. So used to Stacey and Stacey's way of calling games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I actually liked Neil Funk till he got seen now. When he got seen, it's like the last, he was forgetting players' names. Like the last five seasons.
I mean, the last couple of Bulls seasons were pretty forgettable.
This is true. You know. But he was forgetting the visiting players' names. Like, it was like, okay. The last five seasons of Hawk Harrelson, he was not only getting seen now, he was teetering problematic. He, like, they got that nigga out there at the right time.
He went down to check on Todd Frazier. It's still one of my favorite moments. That man was so concerned. And
about
I know Steve Stone wanted to choke the shit out of him, man.
I love Stoney, man. Stoney's
Stone
my guy.
Stone Pony is, like, if we had to do, like, overall in play-by-play and color commentators, he has to be in the top five for me because he was great with the Cubs and then comes over with the White Sox. And, you know, he's so fucking knowledgeable, you embrace him all the same. Now that I think about it, I'm just, like, throwing dudes in a, like, the, you know, if I had to have a top five, both Pat Foley and Eddie Olczyk have to be there.
Oh, for sure. Eddie O, I love Pat Foley.
Both of them are expert. Yeah. It's great that they both get to call together. And, like, I'm leaving Jack Brickhouse and all them old-ass niggas out here because I ain't fucking listen to them niggas. If I had to just, like, keep it Chicago... Honestly, I'd probably put Benetti in there already.
Yeah, Benetti, a young goat.
I think Benetti is amazing. I think he's incredible.
And I give you credit. You were on Benetti from the jump. It took me a year to get Hawk out of my system.
Mm-hmm. Well, because I
had to get all the Hawkasms out of my system.
Because I listened to him a lot. Because he would be the one, if it wasn't Dave Pasch, he would be the one out west with Bill Walton calling Pac-12 after dark basketball. And so I watched him a lot. And I got used to him doing college basketball, college football, and he comes starts with the White Sox on part time. I'm like, yo, this dude's really, really good. And yeah, he's a young goat. I know I only named four, but I'm just like, those would probably be like the ones that stand out to the most to me. And I said Wayne Larrabee, so Wayne Larrabee's also in that too. Those would be the five that would stand out to the most. Anyway, let's kind of keep this ball rolling.
So we can get yes. We
talk about another team in the National League free falling. That is San Diego Padres. We were very dead set the Padres were going to make that leap, make the playoffs. They are really sinking. They have lost 9 of their last 12. Oh, sorry, 9 of their last 11. They're playing right now against the Dodgers. Game just started. Okay.
Against the Death Star.
Yeah, one of those two wins came against the Diamondbacks. I'm like, does that really count? Not really.
They lost a series to the Diamondbacks.
Yep. Yep. And for some strange reason, you know, because they're having rotation problem behind Joe Musgrove, Blake Snell, Ryan Weathers, Yu Darvish suffering some injury right now. So they needed to go and dig into the well to try to find some help. When you need some help, you need to find an arm to try to save.
There's only one name to call.
There's only one person to give a dial, and that is All Lives Arrieta, who promptly showed up to San Diego and gave up 3 runs in the first inning because that's what he do.
Yes, and got hurt.
He got hurt and got put on the injured list because that's what he did. The Padres are a fucking mess right now.
Yeah.
Fernando Tatis is great as
Fernando
he is.
Tatis got one arm.
Fernando Tatis as great as he is going to be. It's about time to start talking about whether he's injury prone. You worried about the Padres right now, and they've been leapfrogged by the Cincinnati Reds, who are playing really good baseball.
The
right
Cincinnati
now.
Vatos. When death strikes, Nick Castellanos answers.
I love that fucking side by side that, you know, they put the stats up when the Reds were in San Diego and he had gotten ejected on some bullshit in one game against San Diego. And you had this little girl who was a big Joey Votto fan and she cried her ass off because she didn't get to see Joey Votto. And it went viral. He took the picture with her the next day. Everything was good. He's been on a fucking tear since that moment. It's one of them, like, coincidental things. We're going to talk about another future Hall of Fame first baseman in just a little bit. Might want to be talking about Joey Votto for Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I was when I was putting together my list for things to talk about, I'm not going to hold you, Thursdays on H&B Media TV and Barbara Chenever, cheap plug. I was thinking, like, should we start talking about the Joey Votto Hall of Fame campaign? Because if you start looking at these numbers, it gets a little interesting. Gets a little interesting then. Mm-hmm. I would not be shocked. I think he has a case.
Joey Votto has been consistently a good to great baseball player since he came on the scene in 2007. He has been one of the really only reasons to care about the Cincinnati Reds. And he was part of, you know, with him, Dusty, Jay Bruce, really getting them out of the post. Ken Griffey, no, they didn't make a single playoff with Ken Griffey Jr. that whole time that Griffey was in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And then you transition to the Jay Bruce, Joey Votto years, and finally with Dusty, they're able to break over the hump. They didn't get there. They didn't win. But, you know, Votto has consistently been good. You know, OPS numbers, great OPS numbers each year. And he's got his most home runs since 2017 this year. So you're going to have to be looking for Joey Votto for Hall of Fame eventually. But, yeah. San Diego is now looking up at the Reds in that second wild. You remember that movie with fucking Zach Galifianakis and Will Ferrell? They're both running for like president or some shit. Zach Galifianakis' character had his little motto: "It's a mess." That's the San Diego Padres. They're a fucking mess right now.
And I don't see where the light is at the end of the tunnel. Like, they're playing the Death Star right now. Like.
And the Dodgers just hit a home run on
them. Yeah, the Dodgers, Will Smith hit a home run. Big Willie style.
Hey, I can actually watch a Dodger game. Oh, my God. I can actually watch the Dodgers or the Padres because I'm watching it on this big inning shit on MLB
Network. So it's blocked out in Vegas?
Vegas is blocked out from 6 teams. They're blocked out from the Dodgers, the Angels, the Padres, the Diamondbacks.
So all the West Coast teams,
the two and the two Bay Area teams, Giants and A's. So that's 6 teams. They were blacked out from the Rockies for some fucking reason. That would have been 7, but they got taken off the list. The only area of the country that's blacked out from more teams is Iowa.
Yeah, Iowa. Yeah,
that's blacked out from 7.
That makes more sense than Las Vegas. It's fucking Vegas. But okay, so. To say what else, this is why I think the Padres are cooked. So they're playing the Death Star for three games. They go on the road to play the Angels. The Angels are a real hit and miss team. They can win series against tough teams and lose. Then they play a two games. They play Arizona. Then they got to come home to play the fucking Astros. Play the Angels again after that. Then they go on the road. They got like a 14 game road trip against the Dodgers. They got 3 against the Dodgers, 4 against San Francisco. They got 3 against St. Louis. That's whatever. Then after that, they come home for another series with the Giants. three against Atlanta, another series against the Dodgers, and they finish the season against the
they are going the through Giants. The gulag, bro.
They are cooked, bro. They are fucking cooked.
It's like, you know, them times where Mr. McMahon was pissed off at Stone Cold. It was like times when Mr. McMahon was pissed off at The Rock. Because I feel like The Rock is a bigger babyface than Stone Cold, right? Rock's going to be able to get his ass beat and still win. Stone Cold is going to stun you and look like a badass. It's like the moments where, you know, it's 2000, Vince and the corporation are pissed at The Rock, and they put him through a gauntlet match. And the first person in the gauntlet, Viscera. Viscera, big ass, come out, beat the shit out of The Rock, Rock win. The next person to come out, who's another big ass nigga in fucking wrestling back in the day? Rikishi. Rikishi come out.
I did it for The Rock.
For The Rock. Come out, beat that nigga ass. The next is a tag team match with the APA. And the APA is just whamming and slamming The Rock, beating that nigga ass. Like, you're continuously going through the ringer. And it really don't, like, I agree with you. It kind of don't seem like there's a way out.
It could.
Because, bro, you know, you can hope to get Darvish back, and then all of a sudden with those four in your rotation, you can start to move and start to pivot. But I don't know. I don't know. You had an 8.5 game lead, and all of a sudden you're staring back up at Cincinnati. Is it possible that you can, you know, make that climb? There's a lot of baseball left, of course. As of now, I don't know how the Padres write the ship, because you also have to expect them to get healthy, and you're really just waiting for Tatis to... I hate to say that, though, because it's like, you know...
One nigga can't save
the
team.
He's so fucking good. And yeah, that's why I tried to kind of downplay, you know, oh, the Giants can't stick around. Giants have been the best team in baseball. The only reason we think the Dodgers are going to win the division, because...
I still think Dodgers are going to win the
fucking Dodgers, but, you know...
Because them niggas cheating.
But all year, the Giants have been the best team in baseball, just consistent. But
y'all hear that?
We all
that is
figured,
the ghetto bird.
I actually can't hear that.
Oh, you can't? No. Okay, the ghetto bird is hovering over my apartment right now. I wonder who's running from the police.
No,
continue.
Might be a good police case going on. I should check the scanners and see. But you know, we had kind of said, oh, you know, the Giants are good, but the Padres are going to, you know, surpass them. And every leg, we've been waiting for the Padres to take that next gear, and they've consistently been, you know, the third of those teams. And, you know, it may just be the possibility that they're not good enough to make the playoffs. The issue is, like, the deadline came, and, you know, there were rumors the Padres were going to do this. They were going to go get Max Scherzer. They were, you know, in the hunt for Chris Bryant. None of that shit happened. They got Adam Frazier, and, you know, they that was it. And it hasn't bear fruit for them.
And Adam Frazier has been fucking terrible. Like, he's not been good.
I haven't seen his latest stats, obviously, because I can't see the fucking Padres. But so I can't tell you exactly how he's doing, but I mean, he's not setting the world on fire, of course.
I think the thing about the Padres, and you know, that's one I like the Padres. They're one of my favorite teams to watch. Manny Machado's always been one of my favorite players.
Fan base is cool.
You know, fan base is cool. That's the only baseball game I've been to, and like the whole game felt like a party. It kind of felt like the crowd was what people came to see, and the baseball just kind of like in the background a little bit. Fernando Tatis, one of my favorite players. I love the team. But a lot of niggas gassed this team coming into this season. And if they don't make the playoffs, they're fucking... Who's their the manager? Is it Jace Tingler? First of all, he has a very punchable fucking face. He's getting fired. For sure, he's getting fired if they don't make the playoffs.
That. I don't know about that. I'm not saying it's not a possibility, but he did take them to the playoffs last year. Shortened season aside, he did take the playoffs last year.
Shortened season. How much stock do you put in anything that happened last year?
I mean, I do feel like there's something to be said to be able to rally a club through its all the uncertainty. You know, you try to not dig too far deep into it, but at the same time, you do try to acknowledge that, like, yo, all 30 teams went through the same issues, the same problems, had to come out of it, you know, prepared. And Padres, didn't they take the Dodgers? No, they lost them four, right?
No, they lost
them. They lost
them. They lost them. Yeah, they lost four. Yeah, I forgot it's best five. So yeah, they lost four.
They did have a really good three-game series with the Cardinals. You know, they came out to play last year. They took a leap. I think people's belief on the Padres were very much inflated, like you said, because of Fernando Tatis. One player doesn't make a team. We're seeing that now. You know, even Manny Machado was having a really good season.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, we're going to talk about him just a little bit when we go over 500 home run possibilities. But, you know, Fernando Tatis has been often injured and not healthy, and he can't do it, you know, with just him and Machado shouldering load on that offense. Other guys got to step up. Hosmer's been fucking garbage. Like, you gave him that deal, and now you're trying to figure out how, like, what prospect you're going to ship away just to get off the books from him. You know, you kind of set yourself up in that regard to be in this position right now. So that's, to me, my real issue with San Diego and why I can't really trust him. It's because, you know, beyond Manny Machado, beyond Francisco Lindor, beyond Fernando Tatis, beyond Manny Machado, that offense does not have anything to drive it. And when you only have Blake Snell, Joe Musgrove, Ryan Weathers, you don't have Darvish yet, your bullpen is not great. Yankees just won, so Yankees continue their win streak. Yankees have won 11 straight. That's fucking crazy. You just mentioned the Yankees just won. They have won 11 straight. But, you know, that's why I can't trust San Diego. It's because you can't trust on Machado and Tatis to hold the line every single fucking
game. Yeah, for the offense, yeah, because it's too one-sided right now. You know, and Jake Cronenworth do his thing. You know what I'm saying? He do his little thug dizzle. You know. But they weren't as good as that 60-game sample size we got of them last year. Because last year they were one of the most dynamic offenses in baseball, which is why they got the name Slam Diego, which I think is very Caucasian nickname, but whatever.
I mean, San Diego's fan base is kind of Caucasian.
Oh, ain't no kind of. If you, of course, you know, anybody spent any time in that gas lamp area, by the way, fire. Love gas lamp. Shout out to all the bartenders that showed us love.
Hey, we're adaptable Negroes, you know?
We're adaptable. I went to college, nigga. I went to college. I know how to deal with those types. Yeah, I know how to deal with those types. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you all know the niggas that used to show up at the frat parties. You know, like, yeah. you stick to yourself. By the way, the Yankees haven't won yet. I don't know what happened, but they haven't won yet. Bases are loaded.
Me and Damian knew how to move. Pav doesn't know how to talk to white people. Pav is just like, he's him.
Difficult, man.
Like, Pav in there with his little cool nigga jacket on. You know what I'm saying? at a baseball game and shit. And we had like this college type bar. You know that bar that's like right next to Petco Park? It has like an outside patio.
Yeah,
we went there. Love that place. I got so drunk off my fucking ass that night. But, and also I want to say about San Diego. I don't know what part of San Diego we were staying in the Airbnb, but I was at the most incredible liquor store I've ever seen in my motherfucking life. That shit had everything. I've never seen Hennessy in a refrigerator. And you can just grab it with, you ain't got to tell my man at the table, yo, can you get that Henny for me? No, it's open. It was the most unbelievable amount of alcohol I've ever seen in my fucking life.
San Diego,
I'm going back.
Place and it's underappreciated.
Going back next year because the White Sox are going to be in San Diego next year. So I'm definitely going to.
What month?
It's October. It's like the last series, second to last series
right.
of the year. So, but anyway.
Their season, but alas.
And we ain't got to worry about Andy Dalton next fucking year. But anyway, so I would say about the Padres, man, it's a fixable mess, but I think they're going to have to chalk this year up and try to retool. The good thing about them, you have the pieces there. You know what I'm saying? Manny Machado has lived up to that contract and even more. You know what I'm saying? And you got a superstar in Tatis. But with Tatis, you have to keep this nigga healthy. Because like you said, I don't know if I'm ready to call him injury prone yet. But he's on injury prone block.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the block, and they need to keep that man healthy because he got injured last three seasons. He's been hurt. Remember, he missed all that time his rookie year,
mm-hmm.
which actually stopped him from getting rookie of the year. So they have to get him better now. Whether that's moving him to the outfield to protect himself,
Been saying that for a while.
Because he be out there doing these little sports center ass plays, throwing his fucking shoulder out. Nobody wants to be on sports center more and can't defend more than Fernando Tatis Jr. and Tim Anderson. Tim Anderson swear he finna be on the MLB The Show cover with them damn throws he be doing. So he didn't stop that shit. But they have to be perfect.
No, nigga, you better enjoy this RBI baseball. It's about as much as you get, man. It's about as much as you get.
Ohtani is definitely the MLB The Show cover next year.
Oh, you better be.
For sure. There's not a shadow of a doubt Ohtani is going to be on that
40
cover.
40 home runs.
You know what's funny? I've seen Ohtani live like 4 times, and I never really even paid attention to it. And I've seen him this year when they played the Freeway Series, which is funny because that take 2 hours here from Dodger Stadium, the Angels Stadium, but whatever.
I'm going to skip over how the West was won because, let's be honest, the Giants and Dodgers are going to be right back here in a couple of weeks when we talk again.
The Dodgers are going to win, though. It's only all
right
now.
Right, and you've already said you think the Dodgers are going to win. So we can just revisit that one in 2 weeks. When
Dodgers are going to win the World Series. They're cheating, bro.
We get to September. But since you what did you just mention? I'm sorry. I wanted to ask you. You just mentioned something. I'm sorry.
About who?
It just blanked my fucking head. God damn it. God damn it. Yeah, it happens.
Anyway. It's late, ladies and gentlemen.
It's not even late. I'm just like, I have a mental spasm when I try. I have so much information. I'm trying to fucking.
I'm on 3 hours of sleep today. So.
Yeah.
My brain is fried. I'm just trying to stay up for what if tonight.
That's right. It's Sam Jack and yeah, that's why I also wanted to like kind of speed up because I wanted to ask you before we go get to Miguel Cabrera. Spider-Man trailer just dropped. What was your favorite part of that trailer?
First of all, I want to give a shout out to everybody on my timeline, everybody in my phone who realized I didn't tweet about the trailer because you know I'm a Marvel fan. That's the first thing I tweet about because the White Sox ruined my life for about an hour. So I didn't watch the trailer until like after I calmed down. So I could actually watch it. But what I loved about the trailer was basically Doctor Strange, like, yo, we finna fuck shit up. I'm finna use powers I ain't got no business of using. And we also seen that a lot of people don't really pay attention to these Marvel movies. That's all a lot of people. Why would Doctor Strange be so arrogant? Did you not see Doctor Strange? That nigga, you look up arrogant in the dictionary, it's Stephen Strange. You know what I'm saying? That is exactly what his character is about.
Pay attention to in the first 20 minutes of that movie.
Right. Well, even not even that. When he was training, he was defying the ancient one. Oh, now I'm gonna do this spell any fucking way. Like that's just who that nigga is. So my favorite part would be this nigga didn't want. He's ready to.
You know how arrogant this nigga is. He went toe to toe with Tony Stark.
Tony Stark.
Tony fucking Stark. The most arrogant person in the entire MCU.
And then that's
tit for tat.
And that's my favorite banter out of any MCU movie. Like, you know, he said, who just saved your magical ass?
That's a lot.
Who just saved your magical ass? And so, but yeah, my favorite part would have to be Peter not wanting to save the world before he was able to fuck Zendaya. I mean, let's just, I would make sure multiversal war doesn't happen.
Hey, oh.
Which he's actually doing. Which he's actually doing in real life, mm-hmm. Allegedly.
Of course.
My Spider-Man, allegedly.
Fuck, what was the...
Doc Ock at the end was mm-hmm. dope. Doc Ock at the end was dope.
One of my homies from work, he has deduced that this is going to be... this is going to be taking elements from the Spider-Man One More Day storyline. Now, I've been kind of looking this up and trying to get an understanding of, okay, is this what we might go through? This is just synopsis on Wikipedia. After Aunt May had been shot, Spider-Man seeks help to save her life. He encounters the demon Mephisto.
Oh! We get a Mephisto sighting?
Who offers to save her life if Spider-Man gives him his marriage. Spider-Man and his wife, Mary Jane Watson, agree, and this part of their history is erased, so that effectively, they have never been married. I guess essentially from what he was telling me is that in One More Day, and you can confer with Joe on this next time you guys talk. Joe obviously knows a lot more than this than I do. You know, this was a theme of, you know, I wish the people didn't know I was Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Which is what we get in this trailer and him, you know, trying to, you know, have Dr. Strange cast a spell. So, you know, I feel like, he feels like this might be, you know, taking bits and pieces from the One More Day.
What's the name of the story again? It's called One More Day?
One More Day.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to go on YouTube and look that up. 2007. Yeah. Because
the fallout from Civil War.
Okay. I do feel like this is a precursor to Multiverse Madness. The rumor is Tom Holland's in that too. There's so many rumors about who's in both of these fucking movies. You know what I'm saying? And we're starting to learn that the shit about Spider-Man is true.
That was the point I was trying to make. Essentially, from In One More Day, Peter sold his soul to them.
Okay. I don't think Disney's going to go that fucking far.
I don't think so either, because, yeah. But we'll see.
But I'm excited for it, man. We just got to hope right now it don't get pushed back. Because Venom got pushed back, and Disney has said, articles in Variety Day, I think, that depending on what Shang-Chi does, Eternals might get pushed back. And if Eternals get pushed back, Spider-Man is 100% getting pushed back.
Well, which is kind of pushed back for what reason?
Because of COVID. People not really going to the movies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, good point.
Which is funny to me, because pushing it back to first quarter of 2022 ain't gonna change much either. Niggas still ain't getting shot. Now, unless they start making movie theaters mandatory vaccination, which I think is probably gonna be the next step. But you know what I'm saying? So I'm excited about this movie. I'm excited really about everything Marvel got coming up. I'm hype about it, man. I'm up here standing up for a goddamn cartoon. So that tells you everything you need to know about everything I'm excited about with Marvel.
That's dope. I love that I go on do that intentionally, make a tangent so I can remember the point that I really wanted to get to, because that was a struggle. You had mentioned Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah.
And they did the graphic over the weekend for AL Cy Young candidates on MLB Network. And of course, your two front runners are Carlos Rodon and Lance Lynn. I think Rodon has the edge on Lynn, me personally. If I had to choose between the two, I'd give it to Rodon. Gerrit Cole's also had a really good season. I think, you know, sneaky underrated. It's just his ERA is higher than the other two. And Robbie Ray is another one with a high strikeout total. The only reason I'm not gonna sit here and say that Shohei Ohtani is a complete narrative, like, of course it's narrative.
It's the baseball half. I mean, the pitching half of him is narrative.
Right. Like, you, of course you do take into effect, you know, the story of it all. But I guess I wanted to just drop the nugget that if we're going to, you know, talk about pitching, one point of pitching is endurance. And I think it's extremely impressive that Shohei Ohtani is able to go out, essentially be an everyday player from the bat, and, you know, go out, play 4 days a week, bat, and then turn around and pitch and give you 6-7 innings, quality starts each time he goes out, and then be dominant. So while he might not win, I do think, like, he absolutely deserves to be in that conversation. The only reason that, his stats don't look the same is because, yeah, he has to kind of take a couple extra days off because he hits. But I think that makes it a little bit more impressive. It shows the durability that he has.
I think, I agree with you. He should be in the Cy Young candidates for sure. There's no doubt about that.
And the only other reason I would give a credit is because I think that Rodon and Lynn are actually going to cancel each other out at some point. Writers are not going to know who to fucking put where. That's just how I see it. It's not one of those situations where, like, oh, I got Glavine and Smoltz, but Glavine has been much better. You know? I think they both equally been decent.
Yeah, they've been. If I had to vote, of course I'm going to sound biased, but I would give it to Lance Lynn. But I do think that even with Gerrit Cole, I would still put Gerrit Cole higher than Ohtani, because I feel like if Ohtani wins, it's strictly narrative-based. Because he does both things. Now, he's runaway MVP. That's not even a motherfucking discussion at this point. He's runaway MVP. But I do think if he wins, it's just going to be a feel-good story. It's like, well, even Babe Ruth didn't do this. That's what I think. But I'm not mad. You do bring a point. They might cancel each other out. But to me, Cy Young is Lance Lynn. He has been carrying us this entire season. Rodon is just as great. And you can even argue he's been a little better. And especially with him, with his history, I was coming to this season just hoping this nigga just be a okay fifth starter. Nobody saw him doing what he's doing right now. I'm even actually kind of hesitant if he can do it again. This might just be like a peak year. But It's gonna be an interesting conversation. But as a White Sox fan, I know if Lando Rodon don't win, White Sox fans are gonna make a big fucking deal about it. Nobody respects us. Da 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 da. I don't give a shit. Give me the ring. That's what I want. I don't care about none of these awards. Give me the fucking ring. It's all I care about.
We are one ball away from the Yankees completely bottling this ball game against Atlanta. Bases loaded 3-1. We'll keep following this as we continue. Well, let's go to our final topic, and that is Miguel Cabrera has become the 28th member of the 500 Home Run Club. I remember it like it was yesterday, and that's because I can't forget it, because Miguel Cabrera was hitting a home run on the Cubs in Game 7 of the NLCS. Great. Consistently throughout his career, even when he went to Detroit in 2008, he just leveled up and became a better player. The only dude in this era to win the Triple Crown. He's going to get to 3,000 hits, if not by the end of the season, the early next year. First ballot Hall of Famer. He has most home runs by a Venezuelan born player in history. He's got a World Series. He's got MVPs. And you know, I think that Miguel Cabrera is a little bit forgotten about when you put him in comparison to other first basemen of his era. Like, he's not Albert Pujols.
No.
Pujols was on another level as a hitter. There's been times where, like, you know, Ryan Howard, I would never say Ryan Howard is as good as Miguel Cabrera, but there was that time where Ryan Howard was one of the most dominant players in MLB. Mm-hmm. Miguel Cabrera was probably just as good, but Ryan Cabrera was getting shine. And it seems like kind of after a point, he started to break out and really establish himself. Like once Pujols left St. Louis, went to L.A., he was like, oh, yeah, no, I'm going to let y'all know I'm the best first baseman in the league. And then he won the fucking Triple Crown, and he was killer. What's your thoughts on Miguel Cabrera, man? He's obviously a Hall of Famer, but you got to watch him up close, having been in the Detroit's division.
Miggy is one of my favorite players. You know, he's been on a division rival for the last decade plus. Like, when did he get to Detroit? 2008? Yeah, so he's been over there over 10 years.
Him and Dontrell came over in that trade.
Okay. Damn, I forgot Dontrell was a Tiger. But I just having a front row seat of watching him. I also think he doesn't get the full appreciation. He's a quiet dude. You know what I'm saying? Mickey come to the park. He play baseball. He go the fuck home. You know what I'm saying? Like, he doesn't really have that same, you know, like, flavor to him, I guess. Pujols. You know what I'm saying? Anybody know who the fuck Albert Pujols is. I'm actually upset he's not playing the extra year because I wanted to see him get 700 because he's very close to getting 700. But Miggy is underappreciated. When you look at Miggy's numbers, and I looked at him when he hit 500, it's like ridiculous ass shit, bro. It's not even like comparable what you see this man do. Like, you know, Triple Crown in this era where it's been mainly pitching dominated, that's fucking crazy. And he's led Detroit had a nice little run. They went to the ALCS in 2013. You know, they've won multiple division titles. You know, and he's really, really been holding the four down to where you can say that he might be the best Tiger ever. Like, I don't know who else you would put. Maybe some old school niggas I don't know about. But at least in the modern era, Miguel Cabrera is the best Tiger.
Yeah, I mean, there's some older school cats you could talk about. Depending on how you feel about power and speed, Alan Trammell's going to be up there. You got some other pitchers that are going to be in the conversation. But yeah. Miguel Cabrera is certainly one of the greatest Tigers of all time, one of the greatest first basemen of all time. Excellent player. And it could be a while until anybody else, it'll be a couple years until anybody else reaches 500 homers. There's a couple of dudes that are going to make it. I'm going to skip over the obviouses. I think Giancarlo Stanton is an obvious. 31 years old, 332 home runs. He's already, you know, more than halfway there. As long as he can stay healthy, he will get to 500. We ain't got to talk about Mike Trout. Mike Trout making 100 is a gift. We're wondering if Mike Trout can make 600.
Yeah.
I'm going to skip over Nelson Cruz because Nelson Cruz is 41 and he needs 57 more home runs.
Yeah, it's not.
To make it to 500. Only Carlton Fisk and Barry Bonds have hit 35 home runs after age 41, like total. So he's supposed to hit 40-57. Probably not gonna happen. Let's just drop some dudes who may get there. Let's start in St. Louis. Nolan Arenado, 30 years old. He has 260 home runs, so he's already more than halfway there. He's averaging 31 homers per 550 at-bats, which is pretty impressive. That's more than Trout, Stanton, all time. But like I said, he just turned 30. He's at 260. Do you think Nolan Arenado is going to get to 500?
He got a chance. You said 260?
He's at 260.
And he just turned 31?
He just turned 30.
I think it's a good chance. If he can stay healthy and he keeps that production up, he has a chance. He has a little chance. I think him, and this is actually, I saw that list too. You know, I know this person is only been in the league a couple of years and he's not even at 100 home runs yet. I think Juan Soto can do it.
I mean, I was going all the way down the line, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I think Juan Soto can do it. But for him specifically, I think he has a good chance. I think Arenado has a very, very good chance. A lot of it just comes to be with health and how long can you keep your power numbers up as far as hitting home runs.
Shout out to Giannis. I'm watching they turn to the Reds in the Brewers game. Giannis is there with his baby.
The new owner, new ownership team.
Yeah, got himself an ownership stake, kind of like Pat Mahomes got with Kansas City. So it's pretty dope to see, you know, the players in superstars and other sports buy into the local baseball team. Hey, Justin Fields better one day own a stake in the White Sox or the Cubs. Who knows who's going to be willing to sell first?
Yeah, I was like, well, we'll
Jerry see. Or Tom Ricketts. We'll see. Halfway.
The only one I was looking at that went
past. But the fact he's only 28 and he's already halfway there. He's always halfway there.
Who? Manny Machado?
Bryce.
Oh, Bryce. He could probably get there too. A lot of these is like, I guess. I he's on a trajectory. He's on a trajectory. You know, it's hard for me to say good things about Bryce Harper, but he's on a trajectory.
Bryce. I love Bryce.
I don't fuck with Bryce, man. I don't even know what I don't like about Bryce. It's just something about that nigga that I just don't like.
This is what I feel like people get hung up on Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper is a greater Eric Lindros. If you don't remember Eric Lindros was the first pick in the draft by the Philadelphia Flyers. And he came in, he was expected to be the next great hockey player in the ilk of Wayne Gretzky, Mario Lemieux. And he was on that cover of ESPN the magazine with Kobe, A-Rod, and Randy Moss. And this is supposed to be like the Who Got Next 2000 cover.
Cordell Stewart was on that cover too.
He might have been too, yeah. And he just wasn't that. You know, he kept getting injured. He wasn't the player that he was built up to be. And people expect Bryce Harper to be that because he did come in and everybody expected Bryce to be, you know, essentially, you know, what Ronald Acuna is. And while Bryce, I think, has always put up great OPS numbers, he could club the shit out of a ball, he walks a ton. You know, the fact that he strikes out and he's never had postseason success.
Yeah.
I think that's what kills him the most. But, like, yo, Bryce offensively is a fucking monster.
The Nationals winning the World Series literally the year after he leaves.
Yeah, he said he was going to bring a fucking title back to D.C.
I will say Nationals fans got over that. They cheer him now when he comes. They cheer. They get this nigga stand ovation a couple weeks ago. They get that nigga standing ovation that couple, when he hit that home run. Niggas was up there clapping.
Oh, I saw him, you know, doing some gestures to the crowd.
Like, he bowed at them niggas. Shit. But I think Bryce has a shot. He has a shot for sure. But I think only shoo-ins would have to be Trout and who's the other one that we named?
Well, I was going to say Manny Machado was next. I was going down the line, but you seem like you're trying to get out of here. So
my phone is about to die.
I guess we'll do that then. At 79th and Hollis, boys are already back for their new season. Listen to them in the third of Three Wise Men.
The homie Steve,
they talked about it. It was a very cuss-worthy episode, by the way.
We had to take it back to the essence.
Yeah, man. You know,
we're never getting a Matt Nagy interview, and I made peace with that.
Man, if y'all ever run into Akeem Hicks, y'all better pray to God.
But Joe run into Akeem every day. He be thinking, he probably think Joe on the practice squad or something.
Yeah, go listen to us on the main feeds. Third pick back from hiatus. They call it a hiatus, but the niggas were ass. Why would we talk? Why did they talk about the Bulls get together all the time? The niggas are terrible.
Like, yeah,
it was real. So they're back. Brand new episode up on the Patreon, up on the regular feed. Also, keep an eye out for Summer Sessions. New first black champ is up. Recapping SummerSlam. I will have my thoughts on the suppression come up on later this week. Damn, that was fun to be back in the stadium again. By the way, Allegiant is beautiful for the inside.
Damn, once they lower them prices, I'll be there.
Gorgeous stadium from the inside, man. All that. Barber's sharing that on Twitter and Instagram, facebook.com/barberschairdigital. Rate and review us 5 stars. Leave a comment. We really fucking appreciate it. patreon.com/barberschairnetwork. $10. We'll get you Summer Sessions. We'll get you top 25. Load up on everything. We're actually going to be back for our other football podcast, 2 Minute Drill, in a couple weeks. Because we're getting closer.
Really, you can smell it in the air. You can smell it in the air. That smell of that pink skin.
Smell
that pink skin.
Sunday tickets is
it's cooking.
I gotta find my Sunday ticket plug.
Oh, thank you. Right, shout out my Summer Sessions co-host, Damian. My nigga.
Got you hooked up for life.
Had death last 6 seasons because nigga. Shout out to my nigga Damian.
It's gonna suck when they move Sunday tickets to ESPN Plus. I'm gonna be obligated to get it, man.
Oh, they are gonna do that shit.
Yeah. I mean, it's smart anyway. Yeah, man, this is 4040. Thank you for joining us. We will be back in another couple weeks to talk about September baseball. Very fun to be talking about September baseball in a meaningful season right here on the 4040 Club with Pierce, me, and Scott at Barbchair Scott on Twitter, at Cameron Santo. That's where you can find me. That's where you can find him. You can find us in a couple weeks when we're back. Until then, enjoy the baseball. We'll see you guys later.
Yes, sir.